So good morning, everyone, and it looks like maybe good evening, good afternoon to a few folks on the phone. We're going to get started now with the webinar. Let's see what we have here lined up. So today I'm going to talk about a few different things, and I know we have a wide variety of participants on the webinar, so I'm going to try to make it useful, at least parts of it useful for everyone. First, I'll briefly go over the OBCDD workshop that Measure Evaluation facilitated in Zanzibar in March of this year. Then I'm going to talk briefly about some of the main challenges in mapping OBC data, some that we discovered during the workshop, some that are unique to OBC data, and others that are just common to mapping all types of data, like health data. Thirdly, I'll go over some of the successes that the OBC community at large, and I guess GIS folks like me, have been able to do successfully in many countries. In general, these are things that just we're already doing in mapping OBC data. And then lastly, I'll take a few minutes to show some of the newer ways that OBC data is being mapped and used at different levels, stuff that's kind of a little bit more on the forefront. So, Measure Evaluation facilitated OBCDD workshop that was held in Zanzibar in March of this year. We invited three country teams to attend the workshop, and we asked that these teams consist of a mixture of participants from the ministries, so those ministries that host the OBC portfolio in the country, USAID, implementing partners, and some community-based organizations. Two of the main goals of the workshop were to one, facilitate kind of the broader use of data for OBC programs, as well as to increase in general the demand for more and better data to inform these programs and services. So prior to the workshop, we did a series of interviews from the participants to gather information on the types of decisions that these participants kind of had to make at their respective levels. We asked them about data constraints, what types of data, of OBC data, or other data that they use for decision making. This slide here shows some of the responses of the types of decisions that the participants need to make. I've asterisked some of the decisions that either can be kind of partially helped by using maps, and those that are imperative to make using maps, such as determining location of OBC service delivery. In the workshop, we went over how to interpret maps, and we gave the country teams lots and lots of maps of their own data to look at. And in looking at those maps, we wanted them to come up with maybe some answers, probably lots and lots of questions, and maybe some decisions or two. We also talked about the types of program data participants use or have access to in their countries. This is a list here. We know that not all countries have all of these program data, but this is kind of an aggregate list of what we found or what we used during the workshop. So now let's talk about some of the challenges we faced, both in the workshop and kind of what we face daily when we're trying to map this type of data for decision making. So a significant challenge that GIS folks like myself have when we're mapping data about children is that we often get a variety of data. So we have lots of different types of data that need to go into us trying to understand an OBC situation in a country. There's lots of contextual factors that play a role in understanding vulnerabilities within households, within communities, districts, regions, and countries. We're often looking at health data, such as HIV status or nutrition. We're looking at social data or social indicators, such as basic needs and guardian status. We're looking at economic data or indicators, such as household consumption levels and wealth indices, and as well other types of data. I couldn't add any more circles into the funnel in this particular slide, but other types of data, such as we're looking at education and livelihoods and all sorts of other data. So getting all of this data in one place, where it's coming from different sources, is sometimes a big challenge. Another major challenge we find, and I don't think it's unique to OVC, but it's definitely something that you don't find in every type of other programming, is that we find data that we get is coming from all over the place, not just different types of data, but we have data that's coming from different sources. So we have assessments and we have data from ministries of gender, Ministry of Justice, labor, health, youth, education, etc. And then we have data coming in from USAID, and data coming in from the implementing partners. We have service provider data. We have national surveys. We have special surveys. So all of this data comes in kind of different shapes and sizes. And this creates a challenge of cleaning this data, formatting the data so that it all plays together nicely, so that we can import it into a GIS, link these data sets together so that they make sense, and then map them. So sometimes we find this a lot, and this is just really in a lot of data in general, is that we might find some really useful data that we really think would be great for understanding our programming. And here we have an ILO database for Bangladesh showing the age group of breakdown in economic activity, where you see very high numbers of 0 to 9 year olds employed in Bangladesh in 2000, and further down the list, they just couldn't fit anymore on the screen, which would be helpful information to know if you were working in Bangladesh. But it's not disaggregated by region or by district, and so it's difficult to map that unless you're mapping regional statistics. So you want all of South Asia. If you're looking just at Bangladesh, it's really difficult to map because you don't have any geographic disaggregation. So I would say one of the most common challenges that we come across has to do with unclear, undefined, or kind of confusing boundaries of regions or districts in a country. And this is not to pick on Uganda by any means. This is one of many. This is just an easy example for me to use. So geographic boundaries change often in a lot of countries. They even change. Well, geographic boundaries don't change here, but we have administrative districts that change often. Sometimes in countries, boundaries are not clear. Sometimes boundaries are disputed. Oftentimes, regional names or district names or town names are spelled differently depending on who you ask. And sometimes different organizations use different kind of regional groupings to differentiate their programs. So in this case, we're showing two maps of Uganda. On the left-hand side, this map is from the OVC MIS, which is showing the number of CSOs providing services in each region. And the map on the right is actually from the Uganda DHS report, which shows a different grouping of regions, which is fine because it works well for those purposes. But based on these two maps and this data embedded in these maps, you wouldn't necessarily be able to link these two data sets to map them together if you wanted to combine the data set from the CSO data set to the DHS data set. So here's another example, kind of following on the previous slide. Showing that there's kind of different groupings of regions. There's sometimes different areas are grouped together differently by different organizations. So sometimes, and oftentimes, maybe we're using outdated data and we're wanting to link it to newer data. And as you can see, based on this slide, there's really no way to link these two data sets together because they're just aggregated differently. Another common challenge, not necessarily to OVC data, but to data in general. Hold on, I'm making sure everyone can hear me. See a comment here that sound is off despite full volume. Okay, it looks like I'm fine. Well, please let me know if we're having sound problems. Another challenge to okay, good. Another challenge, and this is not necessarily specific to OVC data. I'm sure everyone who's used any type of data in country knows this, that some of it's proprietary data, and in general, some people just don't like sharing data. So that's another challenge that we find. Or maybe they'll share parts of data, but not the whole data set. Okay. So next, let's look on the bright side. Well, let's talk about some of the successes that we've had in mapping OVC data. So in-country programs, people like at Measure and other people that are using orphans and vulnerable children data to map it. Earlier, I showed you a slide that was similar to this. And now we're showing a new slide. It has a new column that is an ID number. So kind of due to the increased demand for mapping data, there's been a significant increase in the quality of data, and better quality data is becoming more available. There are now standardized international, you know, data structures for regions and countries, and this ID is actually not the international standard. I put this on here just for illustrative purposes. And so these standardized kind of data schema and structures are allowing us to slowly kind of the ability to better map and link data sets together. Also, people and organizations like us are now often collecting geographic identifiers in their data, such as GPS coordinates, street addresses, town names, regional names, district names with their data, where maybe they weren't doing so before. Because now people are kind of understanding the desire and the need to be able to map their data, and before they weren't able to do that. I'm going to show a series of maps here just to kind of show some of the things that you know we're doing now in mapping OVC data that are very useful, but they're things that we generally people aren't understand and are able to do. So commonly we see a lot of this when we go into countries and we're looking at kind of their data and their mapping abilities is showing kind of here's where we're working. So it's showing where service providers or interventions are located. And sometimes we're also able to show what types of services they're providing. Unfortunately, this is a busy, busy map, so you can't see, but the different shapes on the map are indicating different types of services. And this is actually an OVC services map from Namibia that was, looks like it has a 2007 date on the data that was made by Measure Evaluation. So it's saying, here's where we're working, here are the service provider locations or intervention areas, and these are the types of services they're providing. Actually, I should go back here because I have a few notes on that. So this can help with planning and decision-making. It's also being used more widely by countries to be able to eliminate kind of overlaps in service areas and to try to cut down on inefficiencies. And also it can help us understand unmet need if there's areas where there's high vulnerability and there's no services. So here we have a couple maps, and this one is showing the Ethiopian DHS data. And this is showing estimated number of orphans as a percent of total under 18-year-old population. Here we can see areas with a high rate of orphanhood in Ethiopia. I believe these are just regions. And there's simple maps like this that are, you know, we're mapping one indicator that they can, where we can see a particular vulnerability and easily look at a map and understand where these vulnerabilities are higher, where there's lower. And these types of maps we can make, and we're really making them all of the time. Here's another example of mapping vulnerabilities, and here's just, we have two indicators that we're mapping on top of each other. Here we're showing two indicators. So we have percent of children under 5 that are severely underweight. So here we have below 3 standard deviations, weight for age. And then percent of children under 5 not living with either biological parent. And by looking at these indicators and seeing how they overlap with each other, we can kind of have a better context of this target population. And these are also maps that we're, you know, that we're making and we're easily making the all the time.